Let's talk about the phone script. Man, I hope you're recording, Bruno.
I am.
I hope that everybody on the phone's recording. I got some superstars lined up here. I'm just going to give the rundown of who I have. First, I have Angie. I call her the Queen Owens. I also have her wonderful husband, Michael Owens. I have Jason Crenshaw from the Fitz team. He just emailed me and said that he's on the call and he's going to talk about his phone script. Jeremy Patton will also be joining us. And I think when you look at this opportunity from a macro level and you're kind of, when I'm interviewing you, okay, if I'm interviewing you, Bruno, about this for the first time and you're saying, man, I can do that. I can do this. And you're looking at it from a macro saying, man, I can easily go in there and do this. And then all of a sudden, we get you through training, we get the leads in your hand, and then boom, we're at the micro level of, I got to pick up the phone now. And that's where we lose a lot of people. That's honestly where we lose some folks is, now I've got to pick up the phone. Now I've got to make it happen. And I have on this call today people that are getting on the phones, making it happen. One of the folks, Angie's going to talk about doing it from a scheduler standpoint. Crenshaw is going to do it from scheduling your own appointments. And then Jeremy, who's probably one of the best in the business, is going to talk about the mindset of actually how you set your day up and how you make it happen. Because that is key. I mean, you can have the best phone script in the world, but if you don't, you know, as Fitz said in our meeting yesterday about the big blocks, if you don't have the big blocks in there first of when you're going to sit down and carve out that time from like 8 to 10 to do nothing, but set appointments. And then from 12 to 1, nothing but set appointments. 3 to 4, whatever it is that, you know, you've carved out your time to be, you got to make sure that nothing is getting in your way. And I think Patton does one of the best jobs of doing that, and that's why he's going to speak last about that. But, guys, I'm going to have Angie Owens come on first, and I'm not kidding. Every time I hear this presentation, it gives me chills. Angie and Michael are building an exciting organization. They had a heck of a lot of people at the leadership conference. My guess is their team's going to run about 25,000 this week alone, which is some phenomenal numbers. They're not an agency yet. They're team leaders. They're about to be an agency. And in fact, one thing that I want to add to what Bruno said about the changes in the numbers is Fitz is actually going to, on our leaderboards, he's actually going to break out team leaders. Those are important folks that are in the trenches, that are making it happen, that are building, that are personally producing, and I'm excited that Fitz has made that decision to put these people on the leaderboard as team leads. Angie, you with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. First, do me this favor. Tell me, how many people do you set for?
Well, actually, I set primarily for Michael, and then when other agents need help, I actually either get on the phone and have them listen to me while I'm on the phone with the client, or I sometimes take them on and just go ahead and give, you know, call for them.
Okay.
But that's not the only thing that I do. I mean, I work pending. I scrub applications.
That's where I was going next. So, what about you? You have some children, right?
I have three boys, ages 5, 10, and 14, and two of them in football and so homework and everything else.
And you still find the time to send Michael down to South Florida to write $13,000 in business, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Just want to make sure everybody's always thinking, oh, she's just a scheduler, sitting home, she cannot do anything. I know the volume that your agency's running, so I want to make sure everybody else knows that you're scrubbing, you're pending, you're doing it all. You're running that office. So I want to make sure we got that real clear. Tell me, your phone script is one of the most unique I've ever heard. How did you come about saying this is going to work? Was it your first try, boom, you hit it?
Well, actually, Paul, I have actually changed my phone script a little due to the fact when we went to the leaders' convention, I listened to people up on the stage, what their ideals were. I talked to several people, and they gave me excellent ideas. So I kind of combined all of those and made up a new phone script. And what this does, it allows me to stay in control of the call as well as, you know, book the appointment. Before, I was only booking probably 50% of the individuals that I was reaching. Now I book anywhere from 95 to 100% of that.
Goodness gracious. Let's hear this thing. Let's hear it. I'll be the person on the other end, and I just want to hear it.
Okay.
Hey, Paul?
Yes.
Before we even get into that, I'd like for her to tell us
tell us her mindset beforehand. I mean, she's got these pieces of paper.
Yeah, actually, that's what I wanted to do. What I do at first, I say to myself, I have something that someone wants, okay? As well as the client filled out this form and actually requested me to call them. So I know this customer is wanting me to call them, so, you know, there should be no reason why I shouldn't call, you know, every single number that's on that lead. And last, I always assume that I'm going to set the appointment. So if you have in your mind that you're, you know, oh, this person, you know, may say no because, you know, looks like possibly this lead was an old lead. I don't even look at that.
Right.
So I basically look at the customer's name and I look at the phone numbers. And I just start dialing those phone numbers.
No prejudging at all?
No, not at all. I don't even look at the age or anything.
Just real quick, this sounds real minor, but you get the lead, you print them off real quick, put them in a book. What do you do with them?
Actually, I don't put them in a book. I actually start calling in the morning.
Right from the PDF file.
Right. So I actually get them, I pull them, and like I said, immediately I will go ahead and give them a call. I call in the morning time, I call in the afternoon, and I also call in the evening. The most amount of time that I spend a day is actually 4.5 hours. Normally it's only about 3.
Okay. Now, do you open all the leads and take a look at them real quick, or you just go one by one?
I just go one by one.
I'm asking this question for a reason, Angie. There's a lot of people on this call that are guilty of it, that they'll get all the leads that we send them. They'll open every one, and they'll figure out all the ones that aren't any good in their mind. They'll prejudge them. They'll send them back. And if you're not setting 95 to 100% like Angie's doing, you're not doing what she's doing. And it's just a simple mindset. You're focused on setting an appointment where these other folks are trying to figure out all the reasons this isn't going to work. And that's a huge, small little detail that sets you in that category of each person you talk to, 95 to 100% setting. That's incredible.
Right. And
so go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt
you. That's okay. I had leads from March and April when we went down there for spring break. And I actually kept those on the people that I did not reach. So I don't get rid of those. This week I've actually booked 5 of those. So I've actually gone back into my file for people that I wasn't able to actually reach, and now I've reached them, and all of them have actually booked an appointment.
Awesome.
So,
awesome. Let's hear this thing. I'm excited.
Okay. What I first want to say, you know, in order to start the call, you have to have 3 components to help you set the appointment. The first one is your attitude. You always want to stay positive. The pace that you're going, you don't want to go fast because then the customer is not going to understand what you're saying. And then control of the call. You know, don't let the client get more than one sentence and convert them back to, you know, giving them a time of day that they're available. So those are the 3 that I try to stay focused on.
Okay.
So you're going to do the role play, you said?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll just start off right now. Hello, this is Paul.
Hi, Paul. My name is Angie, and I was calling about your mortgage with Countrywide for
$290,000. Uh-huh.
Okay. You completed a form and mailed back to us regarding protection against death and disability. Do you remember that form?
Vaguely.
Okay. It's where you put your name, date of birth, your height, your weight, and that you're a non-smoker.
Yeah, I think I remember that. I think I got like 30 of those.
Oh, okay. Well, great. We actually got one of those, and the reason why I was calling you is I wanted to let you know that Mr. Owens is actually in charge of your area. In the next few days, he has about 20 to 30 families to actually squeeze in. So what I wanted to find out is if either morning, afternoon, or evening works best for you to spend about, maybe 15, 20 minutes with Mr. Owens to go over the mortgage protection and for him to provide you with that quote that you wanted. So does morning, afternoon, or evening work best for you?
Does he have to come out? I mean, can he just call me?
Well, unfortunately, he cannot. What it is you actually qualify for a non-physical exam. And what that means to you is that you don't have to go through any type of, you know, them poking and prodding on you, taking your blood, making you do a physical exam. They're going to do possibly an EKG, make you pee in a cup. And that sometimes takes anywhere from 1 hour to 2 hours to do that. And with our company, we don't require you to actually do the physical and we can actually, you know, give you the best program and the best rate. So does morning, afternoon, or evening work for you?
You're good. Let's do afternoon.
Afternoon, okay. Looks like tomorrow I can possibly, yeah, it looks like I can squeeze you in at 2 o'clock. So I can put you down for 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay.
The end of the school,
that sounds good.
That sound good to you? Okay, wonderful. Just so we can maybe speed up the process for you, I know you wanted to do it over the phone and maybe it was a concern that the 15, 20 minutes is too long for you. So I'll just ask you a few questions. That way it'll actually speed up the process when he comes out. Do you have any major medical problems in the last 10 years?
No, not really.
Okay. When you say not really, do you have any, like, high blood pressure?
Yeah, I got a little bit of high blood pressure.
Okay.
It's all controlled, though. It's all taken care of.
All taken care of, okay. And then, have you been in the hospital in the last 10 years for anything?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Broke a finger? Yeah.
Okay. No overnight stay or anything?
No.
Okay. And are you on any type of medications at all?
I take some medicine preventative for my high blood pressure.
Okay. And that's the only thing?
That's the only thing, yeah.
Okay, and as for your wife, does she have any major medical problems?
No, nah, she's good.
Okay, and what about being in the hospital in the last 10 years?
Just to have our 9-year-old daughter.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations. I know it's, you know, wonderful to have kids. I actually have 3 myself, so.
Wow.
Is she on any medications at all?
No, she's not.
Okay, great. Now, if you wouldn't mind, if you would actually get out a piece of paper for me and a pencil, I want to give you some information. Again, this will help speed up the process.
Okay.
He's going to actually need, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
He's going to need the name, address, and phone number of your doctors. This is both for you and your wife.
Okay.
And the medications that you're taking, if you'll please have those out so he can just verify the dosage and everything.
Okay.
And then he just needs a picture ID to verify that it's you and that you live at that address. A driver's license would be fine.
Okay.
Okay.
I just moved here. My driver's license is my old address. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine, because he's actually come into your home, so he knows you actually live there.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if you'll just place that piece of paper on your kitchen table until Mr. Owens gets there, and again, he will be there tomorrow, October the 12th at 2 p.m., so if you'll just write that down, I'd appreciate it.
October the 12th, 2 p.m.
Right.
Okay.
So just make sure that both you and your wife are there, because he actually, like I said, has 20 to 30 families to squeeze in, and it's hard for him to get back out there to explain it to your spouse. Okay?
Great.
Okay. And just one last thing. I wanted to let you know, maybe give him anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes for any possible traffic problems. I don't want you to think that he's not going to show up. He will be there. You know, he normally doesn't have traffic problems, but just in case, okay?
Okay.
You have a great evening.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
You. Angie, what do you do when somebody just real nonchalant, yeah, sure, come on out. Yeah, great, awesome. I know this is a fear that we all have because that's a possible no-show, obviously. What do you do to get that person interested?
I let them know that he has, you know, 20 to 30 families to squeeze in. And then again, when I have them take out a piece of paper, write down this information along with the time and the date that he's going to be there, and ask them to place it on their kitchen table until Mr. Owens gets there, this actually helps them remember the appointment. I don't think Michael's had any no-shows
in South Florida?
In Florida at all.
That is amazing. Right there is in itself. I've had appointment schedulers that just hate calling down there. That's amazing. You're setting up this thing so beautifully with the picture ID, get your doctor's name and address. You guys are obviously trying to push Forrester's business there. Also taking control at the same time. Medications, getting them out on the table. Michael, you've been down in South Florida. She's been setting your appointments for you. Tell us, how has it been walking into these type of appointments?
Well, it's awesome. I mean, you walk in, and if you walk to the kitchen table and you look at that piece of paper there, it's great. I say, okay, great. You got your driver's license. You got your medications. You got your doctor's information. Now, so I understand what I'm dealing with here. You know, if God forbid something happened to you, you need the money to go to your wife. But this is just literally, this is what I'm starting it off with. And if something happens to your wife, you need the money to go to you. If God forbid something happened to both of you guys at the same time, have you thought of what you should do with the money then? That, it's set up so far that I can ask for a contingent beneficiary literally when I walk in the door. And at that particular point, yeah, once I get a contingent beneficiary, it's done. I mean, I've got everything I need so far besides the signature and the check.
That's awesome.
I mean, and to give you an example, I mean, she's right. You know, I mean, we theoretically, I mean, when we flew, I flew in, you know, and I did run one appointment on the way, you know, on the way back to where I was staying. But, you know, I mean, I only ran 2 days down here. And, you know, we went north of 13,000 with, I don't have one medical product in there.
No medical products in South Florida where the houses are 500,000 and above.
No.
That's a different phone call right there, I think, but had to throw that one in there. Incredible job. Angie, anything else? Guys, I should have said this in the beginning. If you have any questions for Angie, please email me, paul@paulrobertsteam.com. That's paul@paulrobertsteam.com. If you have anything you want me to throw at her, ask her, objections, whatever it may be, I'll be glad to do that. Angie, anything that you would like to add to what? Now, let me ask you a question. You used to have the Southern accent. Did you just take that out of today's deal?
Actually, I've been taking it out.
Okay.
When I went with this new script. But, yeah, there's times that I do my Southern accent, you know. I'll call you, Paul, and just let you know that, you know, Mr. Owens is going to be in your area. I do that sometimes. But what I wanted to maybe go over was, you know, someone says, you know, they're no longer interested or they just don't have time to do it. And what I'll ask them, I'll say, you know, may I ask you what your main concern was when you were filling out the form? And, you know, a lot of times they'll say, well, I just wanted to know how much it costs. And I'll say, well, you know, that's not a problem. You know, it's only going to take Mr. Owens, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes. And that's if I, you know, grab some information from you now, you know, and he can be in and out of your house in no time. I mean, I don't really tell them exactly how long it takes to do the application. There's also a time when I ask them if they still say that, you know, they're not interested or they just don't have time. I'll say to them, if this is something that you're not interested with or concerned with, I don't want to waste your time. You know, so are you concerned about it or... You know,
that's a tough question to say. No, I'm not concerned about my family. I don't care about it. Tough
right.
to answer that one.
Right.
That's
so
awesome.
That's, you know, an objection that I come back with. You know, if they're no longer interested or they just don't have time.
Take it away from them. I like it.
Right.
I like it. Let me see if I have any. Let me see if I. Okay, cool. Let me see if I have any emails coming in. How do you block your day off? That's a question that we have here. What do you do?
How do I block my day off?
Yeah.
Meaning,
What time do I call?
Normally, I try to do my pending in the morning time. Sometimes get up at 6 o'clock and try to work those. Get my kids off to school. So I'm normally available by 9 o'clock. So I actually will try to get to my calls by 9:30. So I'll do it from 9:30 to maybe 10:30 or 11 o'clock. And then, you know, depending on where my day's falling after that, because I answer phones and everything else, sometimes I'll get on the call or on the phone probably about from 2 to 3. And then the next time that I'm actually available is from, like, 6 to 9. So, but each day is different. So I can't really say that there's a perfect time to give someone a call. I just have to say that no matter what time is listed on that sheet for you to give them a call, don't even worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're available to give them a call in the morning time, give them a call in the morning time. See if you can reach them at home. They may have a work number on there. Don't be scared to call their work number or their cell phone number because they've given you this.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, there's not really one time of the day that's better than the other. It's just making sure that you call that person at every number that you can reach them at. Normally what I'll do is I'll try them at least three times. So if there's three numbers on there, I can actually have a total of nine phone calls in one day to try to reach that person, the morning, the afternoon, and in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I love it. I love the fact, and the one reason I asked about the Southern accent, that's just something that you became creative with. You tried something different. You didn't just go with the so-so, and this is the way it's going to work, and this is the way I need to do it. You expand it, and you try to make this thing better, and you're continually making it better. Every time I hear this phone script of yours, I get more and more jealous of Michael. I'm like, man, I gotta get me. I try to hire you, but I don't think that's a good idea. It's amazing how you've progressed and how you've learned, and you keep trying new things, and you just don't stay in the same old, same old. And that's the key, in my opinion, to having the success that you've had. We have so many people that just give up. And I'm going to talk about, when I end this call today, I'm going to talk about perseverance and why not to give up. But incredible. Do you have anything else you'd like to add, Ange?
The only thing that I would like to add is that make sure you track the number of dials that you do each week. I don't know if I went over this, but you should make at least 250 dials. And dials is, you know, each time that you try to contact the client. No matter, you know, if you have 30 leads, you still should make 250 dials until you have all of those booked.
So you track your dials. Every single good appointment scheduler tracks their dials. Every single one of them. There's not one that's right in the business that Michael's writing that someone's got to track those dials. I do have a couple questions, actually, Ann, so I can't let you go just yet.
Okay.
How do you react when someone freaks out when you call them on their cell phone?
I say, I apologize for giving you a call on your cell phone, but you did, you know, provide me with this number, so I wasn't able to reach you at home, and this is, you know, I know this is important to you, so I wanted to make sure that I got a hold of you to let you know, Mr. Owens is actually in your area, and I go into, you know, squeezing them in, and if they still say, you know, don't call me on my cell phone, I'll actually find out a time that's actually best to give them a call at home.
Okay.
And I'll actually put that in my notes on their lead sheets.
And are you scared to call them at home later because they got mad at you? Did you take it personal and cry to Michael all day?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
But made her more upset. Made her want to go out there and help that family even more.
There
right.
You go.
Yeah.
Most people would quit. Got another question for you. How do you handle single people? They have no wife, no family. What do you do?
In a situation like that, you know, they say I'm no longer interested. And again, I come back with, you know, may I ask what your main concern was when you filled out this form? You know, something concerns you when you filled out this form. May I ask what that is? You know, and sometimes, again, they'll say, I just wanted a quote, and I'll go into a situation, you know, well, that's great. We can get you squeeze you in here. And if they say, well, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't have any family anyways. And a lot of times it's almost like between, you know, the ages of 21 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, well, you know, you may not have any family now, but you have several years of living.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everything changes in our lives at different times. And, you know, you may later on down the line get, you know, married, adopt a child, something like that. And it's always good to have this in place, this program where it protects you against death and disability. So, you know, later on, it's going to actually help someone that you care about. So, I mean, I approach it in that situation as, you know, let's go ahead and, you know, get this while the premiums are low. Because the older you get, the more expensive it's going to get.
Cool.
And again, life has changes. You know, so we want to make sure that we protect whatever may change in the future.
What do you do? I had another question here. If are you still going to get your license, Angie?
I'm hoping to.
Can you change this call around to where you're doing it for yourself? I got a lot of people. I knew I was going to get this question. That's why I have Crenshaw on here. She's an appointment scheduler. She's doing it for Michael. Can you change this appointment around to where you're setting it? Can you change your script around to where you're doing it for yourself?
Yeah, I can do that. Sometimes, you know, I personally can change my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you don't even have to, but you can always, you know, say you're someone else.
Right.
I don't think it's a difference to say that you're someone else. I mean, all she's got to do is say, change that script and say, hey, Mrs. Owens is going to be out there.
Right.
I mean, she can say, this is Angie, and Mrs. Owens is going to be out there on yada, yada, yada. I mean, if you feel uncomfortable about saying you're somebody else or something like that, don't. Just use your first and then last name.
Right.
Well, and yeah, my point is that this script can be used for anybody. I mean, it's an incredible script. Don't just, if you're on this call right now and you're saying, well, she's an appointment schedule, she's doing it for Michael, don't do that. You can use this script. Bruno, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, I just wanted to jump in. I figured I'd step on somebody. But, you know, she in the beginning said, Mr. Owens is in charge of your area. You're mm-hmm. making the call for yourself. You know, I'm the person in charge of your area.
Right.
Love it.
I'm in charge of your area, and I have about, 20 to 30 families to squeeze in the
right.
next few days.
Exactly.
So.
This is Jeremy. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, probably, I've been setting on appointments the last 3 weeks, so I use a similar script as Angie, but I'm going to probably assume that Angie probably doesn't get a whole lot of these objections
right.
people are asking
right.
about because of the way she's calling and assuming the appointment to begin with.
I'm glad you said that.
Right.
Is that right, Angie?
That's correct. I mean,
I don't assume
the appointment. I know the other day, I didn't really mean to say it, but on one that I was calling, she was asking, well, how many people actually schedule? And I said, well, for tomorrow, I've already booked probably, I think 7 or 8. And I said, you're going to be the next one that I book, so you're going to be the last one. So, again, I was just automatically assuming, and I was letting her know that I'm going to book her, and she's going to be the last one.
Awesome.
So, I mean, it was kind of... I mean, I really didn't mean to say it, but it's actually, something that, I'm assuming. So I said to her, you're the last one that I'm going to book for tomorrow.
Awesome.
Hey, I've got a quick question that came through on my email.
Okay, go for it.
Angie, can you just go through what you would tell somebody when they say, I sent that in because I just wanted a quick quote. All I want is a quote.
Well, that's not a problem. But the situation is someone who actually can give you a quick quote over the phone or they send the information in the mail to you, all they're providing to you is basically just the average amount that it's going to cost for the coverage. It's not specifically tailored to you. So once you get that quote and you say you're interested, what they're going to do at that point, remember, we talked about the non-physical situation. You're not going to have to do a physical exam, and we're going to be able to provide you with the company that we can write you with, as well as what exactly your premium should be. Now, I just want to let you know that a lot of people do apply for coverage, but not everybody gets, approved. So, we just want to make sure that we put you with the appropriate company is, the reason why he just needs to come out. And, we can speed up the process by taking information over the phone. And then, he'd spend a short time at your home and, you don't have to really worry about, your time being taken up.
Okay.
Cool. Angel, I'll leave you with this because I want to get to Mr. Crenshaw, but I've gotten a lot of great feedback. Some people want to borrow you. I'm not going to let them. This call is awesome. Thanks for everything you're doing for us. This is going to help me. I'm just reading some emails that I'm getting right here.
Oh,
awesome.
Well, thank you.
Awesome tips. Another one that wants to know if she can hire you, and another one that wants to know if they can steal you. So I love the script, and I know that if agents will employ it and do exactly what she's doing, you'll have the same success of 95 to 100%. And I'm still amazed that Michael's in South Florida, where no-shows are abundant. Getting appointments set is difficult. But I'm lying. What I just said was a complete lie. You've proven it can be done. You've dispelled all the excuses. So congratulations, and keep trying new things. That's awesome. And thanks for being on the call today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
You betcha. Crenshaw.
Yes, sir.
Jason is part of the the Fitz Group as well, part direct to Fitz, and up-and-coming Cameron Kimball team. Jason gave his presentation for us yesterday in our Dallas sales meeting. It's not an easy thing to do. The man is just so confident that I think it was Jeremy that just asked the question, do you get objections? And I don't think Crenshaw does because of his confidence level and what he does and how he does it. And the reason Crenshaw's on today is because he sets his own appointments, and yet he still travels, and yet he still goes to four or five different states. I think in a three-week period he went to Maine, Missouri, and Georgia. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, in a three-week period, turned around those numbers and sets his own appointments. You know, well, Paul, I want to travel like you, but I don't have an appointment scheduler. Well, there's another lie, because we have Jason Crenshaw on the phone today to say that he does it. Jason, give us your phone script. What do you do? What do you say? How do you talk about your mindset if you want to? Just throw it at us, my friend.
On my phone script, I do kind of the one that in the new agent training call. I just kind of changed it up a little bit. But all I'm trying to do is get the person on the phone, tell them that they mailed the letter in, and tell them this is the time I'm going to be there. I do have a different mindset for travel versus local.
Okay. Share that with them.
I mean, that's just how it is. When you're local, you have more opportunity to meet. But travel, I'm there 2 days. You can meet me or you can't. But I have 50 other families that one of them want to meet me, so.
You say the number 50.
Yeah, I tell them I have 50 other families, so I can only see 25. So I called you first, so let's get you taken care of.
Yeah, I like it. Let's do your phone script, you and I.
Okay.
And I know I was a jerk to you yesterday.
Yeah, be a little nicer.
Hey, this is Paul Roberts.
Yes, Paul. My name is Jason Crenshaw with Mortgage Protection Group. I'm calling in regards to the letter you mailed in requesting information about mortgage protection. The letter talked about death, disability, unemployment, return of premium. Do you remember that letter? It may have been a couple months ago. But okay. You filled out your name, your information, along with your wife, your height, your weight, and that y'all both don't smoke.
Yeah, this is through my bank. Yeah, I do remember filling that out.
Correct. It was with your mortgage with Wells Fargo.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I do remember that. I got like 40 of those letters.
Well, the reason I'm calling is I'm actually traveling from Dallas. I'm a manager traveling to your area. Unfortunately, we don't have enough agents in your area, so I'm only going to be there a couple days, and I have about 50 families I'm trying to meet. I only have room for 25 people, and so I'm trying to see what would work best for you Friday or Saturday.
Man, that's just so slick right there. I can't say anything. You just took complete control. You nailed it. You just that's the key to all these people that are on this call today, is they just, the confidence level, man, hey, you're the first person I got in touch with. And I'm not lying to you right now, Crenshaw. I got nothing to say to that. Friday, come see me tomorrow, man.
All right, sounds good.
I do ask you any medical questions, medications, anything like that?
I am going to change my phone script because I like her so much, but I always ask, do you have any medical conditions like high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, any heart conditions?
Okay.
Because so
why do you do that? Why do you do that?
Because with F&G, diabetes and high blood pressure combined with the height and weight chart can be, they'll cancel, and so I'd have to go to Saver Select, so I like to know before I walk in the door.
Okay.
Because it changes my presentation.
Cool. But you're not doing it, and I want to be careful here because some people are going to take this as you just do the whole qualifying over the telephone, start giving them prices and all that stuff. You're not doing it to qualify to make sure if you want to go or not, right?
Oh, no. If the guy is 85 or 84 and has cancer, I'm still going to meet him.
Okay. That's the important part of what I want to say there, is because you're just not – well, this one's just not worth it, and you're calling up Cameron, you gave me crappy leads, and blah, blah, blah. You just want to know so you can tailor your presentation to be better.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, you saw my presentation, so since it's geared towards home certain or foresters, I don't want to walk in and do a home certain presentation and find out later that, oops.
Can't do it.
I can't do it, yeah. I don't want to be the guy that's lying to them.
Yeah, know your audience before you start talking to them. That's smart. But you're not throwing them onto the side and getting rid of them. That's the important part here. There's so much that can be done. I went to Tucson, Arizona, as a matter of fact, and a guy was 81, just had a brain tumor. And I ended up sitting there talking to him. He just bought a laptop. He didn't know how to turn it on, didn't know how to do anything. I sat there, and I had some time between appointments and, you know, hooked it up for him, set it up for him. His daughter saw all this. That night I went and wrote his daughter and her husband. And you could have easily pre-qualified an appointment like that and said, dude's got a brain tumor, don't go. There's other people in that man's life, correct?
Correct.
Awesome. Let me see if I got any questions for you, Jason. If you guys are thinking I let him off easy, I didn't. I beat him up pretty good yesterday, and I still couldn't beat him up. You just can't. He takes control over the situation. He knows his outcome before he picks up the phone. That's something you heard Angie say as well. They know what their outcome is before they pick up the telephone. If you're calling just to kind of see, let me give this NAA thing a try. Let me just see if this thing works. Because I don't think it's going to work. And I can't wait to call Paul and tell him that this thing doesn't work. If that's your mindset, that's what you're going to get. And you're not going to be successful. Same question for you, Crenshaw. What do you do with single people?
Book the appointment.
Move on. Thank you, Jason, for being on this call today. I appreciate it. It was short notice. I emailed you just prior to because I wanted to hear you talk again and just book the appointment. You got anything you'd like to add, Jason?
I think part of what my presentation or like my phone script changes when I do local, like I was talking about, that I run a lot of B leads local.
Okay.
And so I have to change that presentation up because I'll call and act like I know y'all mailed this in several months ago. I'm just following up, trying to make sure that y'all got this taken care of. And that way, I book about 50% of my B leads on appointments.
50% of your B leads on appointments? That's golly. If Cameron's on the phone, I like to transfer Crenshaw to my team. Jason, one day you need to come over to my office, and I need to show you all the emails I get from folks that, these are not fresh. They're not fresh. Fitz always makes fun of me when I start interpreting emails. He says you really can't interpret an email because you don't know how they're saying it. But I know what they're saying. Awesome job. Patton.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Give me your snapshot of your week.
My week. Right now, because I set my own appointments right now, Monday is my administrative day where, recruiting, team building, scrubbing apps, that sort of thing. Follow up phone calls, all that stuff. Tuesday is my core appointment setting day, where if there's only one thing that gets done, I set 12 appointments. That's it. That's all. I mean, it's the one thing that's on my priority list. I have plenty of other things to do, but again, I make that a priority, and I put everything out. I choose to procrastinate on everything else until I reach my appointment setting goal. No less than 12 appointments booked on Tuesday. Wednesday is my cleanup day, where I finish off and set at least eight or nine appointments, and recruit as well as the typical paperwork and so forth that we need to deal with. Mm-hmm. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday is when I run my appointments, and
awesome.
Sunday is non-negotiable. I'm off. I don't work Sundays.
No Sundays at all.
No Sundays.
Give us your phone script real quick.
Okay. Hey, Paul, this is Jeremy Patton with the Mortgage Protection Group for Citibank. I was just following up with you regarding a letter that you just sent back to me telling me that it's important for you to protect your family in the event of your death, disability, or critical illness. Also have return of premium features. Do you remember filling that out and sending it back to me?
Boy, vaguely I got so many of those things. But, yeah, I think I remember that.
Great. Well, Paul, the reason I'm calling is I'm the regional manager in your area. Actually, I'll be in your area on Thursday and Friday. Wanted to say Thursday at 5 or Friday at 6 would work better for you.
Those days are tough, Jeremy. Your name was Jeremy, is that it?
Jeremy, yes, sir.
Yeah, those are tough. I work Thursday, Friday.
Okay, great. Well, I can meet you later. What time do you get off work?
Oh, geez, I get off late. I get off like at 6:30. I don't get home till about 7:30, 8 o'clock, depending on traffic.
I'll tell you what, I'll be there at 8 o'clock on Friday. How's that sound?
You're going to come out to my house at 8 o'clock on Friday night?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So I'll have you down for 8 o'clock. And tell you what, Paul, I want to make sure that Tamara's going to be there. Is Tamara going to be available as well?
She should be. I think she might be there.
Should be or will be?
How important it is. I make all the financial decisions.
That's great. Well, it's very important, Paul, because really what we're going to talk about is, is how is it going to impact your life and her life if either of you aren't in the picture. I want to make sure that you're both on the same page about what you need. Because my purpose, Paul, is I work with about eight different companies. So to really just invest about 15, 20 minutes of your time to really get an understanding of what you and Tamara need together. And once you tell me what that is, basically I'm going to show you the best program to protect your family as well as meet your budget. So it's really important that I have both of you there so we're all on the same page. Only take 15, 20 minutes of your time. So does that work for Tamara as well?
I'm pretty confident she'll be there. You probably need to call her just to make sure she's got cheerleading and soccer and all types of stuff.
What's another time that you know for sure? Would Thursday evening be better for you, that you know for sure Tamara will be there with you?
Thursdays are better.
Why don't we do Thursday perhaps around 7 or 8? Which one works better for you?
Yeah, see, Thursdays I don't get off till about 9, though. I mean, I don't get off till about 8, and I won't get here till about 9:15.
No problem. I'll tell you what, why don't we make it for 9:15 or 9:30 on Thursday? Does that work for you?
So you're going to come out to my house at 9:30 on Thursday night?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm not done until I take care of you, sir.
Okay.
Okay, well, do you have a pen and paper, Paul?
Hang on. Let me grab one here real quick. What do I need to write down?
I need you to write my name down, Jeremy Patton, just like the general.
Okay, General Patton. Good. I like General Patton.
My phone number is, I'll make up one. I don't want everyone calling me. 316-555-1212.
Okay.
And I've got us down for, let's say, 9:30 this Thursday evening.
Okay.
And, Paul, it's really important. I have one thing to ask you. I mean, it's very important that both you and your wife are there at 9:30. I am very busy. I do have appointments every hour on the hour. So I do ask that you both be there at 9:30, and we'll get your family taken care of.
Awesome. Okay.
And
yeah, I look forward to it. Go ahead.
Just to prepare you, Paul, for our appointment, all we're going to do, Paul, is I do have choices for you. Again, I want to review with you so you can know what to expect. All we're going to do is review the available benefits with you, okay? I'm going to have both you and Tamara tell me what you need to protect your family's needs, both to cover, protect your family and your budget. And once you tell me what that is, all we can do, Paul, is fill out a simple application, submit it to the insurance carrier to get you approved. That typically takes about 3 to 4 weeks, okay?
Okay.
And we'll look forward to seeing you Thursday evening, 9:30.
Man, you made me feel good, Jeremy. That was harmless. You told me how important your time is. Burnup, you got anything you want to ask of this man?
Hey, Paul, got a quick question that came through while Jeremy was... That was awesome, Jeremy. The question is, what does someone say when the customer does not remember sending in the form even after they have been reminded of what's on it?
I assume that they remember. I don't ever really... I just say, great, well, this Thursday or Friday worked better for you. I don't really... they filled it out. I mean, they might not remember. I just say, great, well, I get a lot of these things I don't remember, but however, you filled this out, I got your height and weight, this, that. I review the available benefits, and then I just... This Thursday or Friday work best for you.
Bruno, he uses that great to a T. And if you don't believe that he really does this, go to the national conference and ask Travis Adams. Travis ran an appointment with Jeremy way back when Travis first joined us. The guy opened the door, and the first thing he said to Jeremy was, I'm not writing you a check, and I'm not buying anything today. Jeremy's words were great. They walked in. He walked out, I think, with like $170-something. What was the total?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, he walked out like $170. Travis Adams, the whole time, I think it, 2 or 3 days later, he finally come out of his coma of, how'd you just do that? And I hear him say that all the time. I've traveled with Jeremy a lot, and, you know, we'll talk about our appointments in the evening, and that's the way he overcomes every objection. Great. Well, I already have this at work. This really isn't that important. Great. And it's the way he says it. I mean, he has that in his voice. He's there to take care of them. And he truly does it. And he just he steamrolls people. He has a passion for what he does. Tell us about your passion and why you do this, Jeremy.
I care about people. I mean, bottom line is, you know, when it comes down, people are asking about how do you overcome single people, all this stuff. I mean, bottom line is, I care about these people. They filled this out for a reason. It's still a question to a T. It's got to care. I care about what's going to happen to them if they don't get this coverage. They're going to be like that lady I took care of 2 weeks ago who lost her husband last Christmas. She's 36 years old. She has 3 kids. Her husband, they thought they had mortgage protection, but they didn't. And he died after he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer 3 days later. That's why I do this, because she was in tears telling me why this was so important to get her family protected. 36-year-old single mom. My father had a knee surgery 3 years ago. Came down with a staph infection. Didn't have mortgage protection. He's alive, but they lost the home I grew up in. That's why I do this. Is what does this do for people? I mean, how is this going to impact, you know, their life if I don't protect them? You know, that's why I do this. I really care. I mean, it gives me chills thinking about what this does for people and how grateful Mr. Price was on Thursday night. He just had a heart attack 1 week ago, and he was grateful I could take care of him with a presidential policy. That feels pretty darn good, man. I mean, he was just happy to have something, you know, and that's why I do this. I mean,
didn't you write his wife on a Forester's?
Yeah, wrote him on a presidential, and then I wrote his wife up on a Forester's, and she's healthy, and she definitely understands that things could change, and they have an 11-year-old kid, so that's why I do this. There's story after story, man, and if you go in there with the attitude that, you know, what must I do to take care of this family is the question I ask before I walk into every door, you're going to find a solution.
Mm.
If you just listen.
What about, so the husband was just had a heart attack. You could write presidential on him.
Correct.
How did you know the wife? How did you fill her out on something? I mean, isn't he the one, isn't he the breadwinner? I mean.
Absolutely. He's the breadwinner. They were more concerned on him. I said, well, I'll tell you what I said. We're definitely going to get you protected with the presidential. But let me ask you something, Joyce. You know, how is it going to impact? I know, obviously, you know, he's not working right now. You're working. I mean, how is it going to impact your family if you can't work? I mean, if you get sick or if you pass away, how's that going to impact Travis? You know, yeah, you're right. And I said, you're healthy. It's only going to be $40 a month. And I need to go over the membership benefits of Foresters and what that's going to do for Travis. It was a no-brainer. It was a no-brainer for her. She was like, I got to get this taken care of. I must get this taken care of. And, you know, they're on a limited income, Paul. I mean, I don't understand people that say we can't afford it because these people – they, you know, she's working part-time, he's not working anymore, and they might make $2,000 a month. And now they're willing to invest over $160 a month to protect their family because they care and it's important. So, I don't know, man. I really do care. I really do care about
that. I want to wrap up here. How much are you going to write this month?
I'm going to write $32,000.
$32,000. Crenshaw, how much are you going to write this month? Angie, Michael, how much y'all going to write this month?
$40,000.
Was that Crenshaw or Michael that just said $40,000?
That was Michael.
It's Michael, $40,000. Crenshaw?
Crenshaw's here now. $25,000.
All right. You guys have heard it from folks that are just kicking some serious butt, and I hope that you've recorded it, listened to it. I do want to end with perseverance and not quitting. I want to talk about Uncle Vern. Our Uncle Vern Geyer was announced yesterday in the sales meeting that he made over $100,000. He will be earning his income ring this year. And so many folks in Vern's place, Vern really wanted to earn that ring last year. And I know it was tough for him to see so many of his buddies walk across that stage and make it happen and get their ring and pump in our fist. And, you know, it's a tough position to be in. Most people will cower down and quit. And, Vern, my hats are off to you. You didn't quit. Kiyosaki's book talks about quitting. You know, why quit? You can quit any time. Quit tomorrow. But why quit now? And that's the importance of really what we do. Don't quit. Don't let this opportunity get away from you, because if you do, you're not going to have that opportunity the next year to turn it around like Uncle Vern did. And congratulations again, bud. I'm proud of you. I'm going to be hollering real loud when you walk across that stage, and I look forward to many, many, many more of you guys walking across the stage.